This is Julian Morrow with you on Sunday Extra, and we're joined now by someone from the Society for the Protection of Underground Networks, which does sound intriguing. And in fact, he's been part of bringing the biggest underground network of them all out into the open by creating the first ever global map of where fungal networks are and how much of them exist. And the answer to that second bit is mind-boggling. According to a new study published in the journal Science, the planet has approximately 110 quadrillion kilometres of living fungal filaments. Dr. Justin Stewart is a research fellow at SPUN, the Society for the Protection of Underground Networks, and lead author of the study, and he joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you very much, Julian. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, Justin, what's a fungal network?
I mean, this is the question, right? So a fungal network is one of the most ancient and intimate types of associations that plants can have on Earth. So I work on a group of fungi called arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi. These fungi form vast networks of mycelium underground, but you've probably never seen one, actually. They don't really make mushrooms, but if you've ever eaten a carrot, you've probably eaten some of this. They form associations with most plant roots on Earth, and they've done this for around 450 million years. In this symbiosis, the fungi forage using their thin, long body, the mycelium, which we call hyphae. They forage for nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus. In exchange, because it's a symbiosis, right? It's a cooperation. The plants provide it with carbon that it makes through photosynthesis. Because this is such a widespread and ancient symbiosis, it affects Earth's climate and the evolution of life on Earth. So it's a very fundamental part of Earth's ecological infrastructure. But we previously did not know just where is it located? How much of it is there? Where's the Amazon rainforest of a fungal network on Earth?
I wonder if you could explain for us a little bit more. I think you said the fungi and the plants form associations. What does it actually mean? Could you go a little bit more into the nature of this symbiotic relationship?
Definitely. I'll start with the fungal side because most people start with the plant side. So what happens is you will have a spore in soil, and this will look like a very small sphere, 50 micrometers wide or so. And a thin tube will start emerging from it based off of chemicals that the plant root will put out. And it's almost attracting the fungus to it. The fungus then approaches the plant roots and actually penetrates it and enters inside of it. So it's extremely intimate, this relationship. It's literally letting another individual inside the body of the plant. Within this, it creates this very beautiful branch structure called an arbuscule. That's why we call them arbuscular mycorrhizal hyphae. Mycorrhizae, by the way, means fungus roots. And in this, that's kind of like a stock market. This is where you have the trade of nutrients for carbon. So this is from the fungus side. And from the plant side, you have it, the plants making carbon through photosynthesis in their leaves and putting quite a lot of this carbon into this symbiosis. We estimated a few years ago, we being the researchers, that around 1 billion tons of carbon go into these fungal networks each year. That's about 4 billion tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. So if that's happening, we were really motivated by a simple question. What type of infrastructure is required to do this? That's like saying we know across all the roads in Australia that, 150,000 people get to work every day. But you have no idea what's the shape of that road network and how long is it? Where are the most important connections?
And this is where this research is a truly extraordinary mapping exercise. It's been described as a hugely ambitious global effort. So Justin, what did it involve?
This is like the sweet spot where we could first try to do these types of analyses. So it relied on quite basic math. I mean, this is math back from the time of Archimedes, but we had to use complex tools to get to that basic math. So our question was just how much of these fungal networks are on Earth, where are they dense, and how much do they weigh? So there's two different parts that went into this analysis. The first one is just enough soil had to be sampled on Earth. So we assembled a database looking at published studies in many languages. And we assembled data from around 16,000 soil cores collected across the Earth, not evenly collected, but from all vegetated continents. Then in these soil cores, researchers took it, and in every gram of soil, they measured the length of hyphae, so the length of these mycelial threads. And so, for example, in a grassland, you could have up to 100 meters of hyphae in a gram of soil. But in certain forests, you maybe only have 1 meter. By looking at that variation in length based off its environment. We use satellites and machine learning models to understand these relationships. We created this global predictive map. And if you take this map where it's predicting the density of hyphae across all Earth, and if you sum it up, you get one really big length. And so that number, it's quite mind-boggling. The closest comparison is in outer space. We get 110 quadrillion kilometers of hyphae. What does that mean?
It sounds like a lot of hyphae. It's
a lot of hyphae. And so if you compare our upper estimate to something, we're able to say it's nearly around a billion times the distance of the Earth to the sun. But this is just one half of the story, right? We want to know how much these things weigh. So first we measured how long they are doing this math to make this map. The next was measuring how wide it is. And this is what is maybe one of the most beautiful parts of the study. It's merging micron scale with like galactic scale research. So we used imaging robots from the Amalf Biophysics Institute, and Corentin Bissot and Tom Shimizu helped lead this part of the work. But we built a robot. Its name is Prince. And what Prince did was it took photos of living fungal networks at high resolutions across space and time. So we could track around 500,000 different parts of these fungal networks growing at every time step. And we measured how wide are these tubes, which is quite hard to do, actually. It sounds like it would be an easy endeavor, but it took many years to figure out just how wide a tube is. And so if you know how long a tube is and how wide it is, you can model its volume. And so we figured out that we think these fungi weigh around 6 times the biomass of all humans on Earth.
Amazing. Yeah, it's really mind-boggling figures and gives you a sense of just how complex, sophisticated, and huge the system that's sort of making the planet work really is. Could you tell us about how you've manifested this data in your global map?
So the global map is a bit of the catchy part of this research, right? We created this study and this analysis for two reasons. The first is fundamental science. We did not know where these fungal networks were living. But at the same time, we've developed with the designer, Moritz Steffener, a version of this map, which we call the mycorrhizal infrastructure map. And so this is an interactive website where people can go and you can zoom into where you live and see how much hyphae are living there. But our goal is to get this into the hands of decision makers and policy makers, because fungi have been historically left out of legal and climate agendas. And we're hoping that data and conversations like this, like we're talking about fungi on national radio. This does not happen very often unless it's like a epidemic. Our goal is that this map stimulates conversation around protecting soil life.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Justin Stewart, who's a research fellow at the Society for the Protection of Underground Networks, about this massive global mapping exercise of fungal networks. You mentioned grasslands before, Justin. How significant do grasslands appear in the global data that you've amassed?
Grasslands are appearing as one of the most important ecosystems on Earth for arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi. If you take the analogy that these fungi form Earth's circulatory system, moving massive amounts of carbon and nutrients underground, the grasslands are some of the beating hearts of these ecosystems. We find that around 40% of the hyphae, of the biomass of these different networks of fungi, live in wild, uncultivated grasslands, which is quite surprising. If I ask you, where do you think, you know, you will find something very dense, you might think it's going to be under the Amazon or in Indonesia or the Congo, right? A rainforest. But this is where these fungi always surprise me and challenge our assumptions as humans, where we think with these very specific above ground biases, we're finding that grasslands, which above ground might look very boring and unimportant, are maybe some of the most important ecosystems underground.
And by contrast, what did you find about the presence of the fungal networks in highly utilized agricultural areas?
So this is one of the analyses that I'm hoping stimulates a lot of research. We identified at the global scale, we weren't able to link specific management strategies, but agriculture on average reduces these fungal network densities by around 50%. This is through a variety of mechanisms. There can be tillage, where you physically cut the soil. And so you're cutting these, think of them as these threads in soil. But you can also apply synthetic fertilizers, which break the symbiosis. Much more research is needed on this. In particular, there are some agricultural practices that can maybe promote healthy hyphal networks. So this is a bit of a call to action. This part of our analysis is say, hey, can we start developing ways that we can work better with these fungi? Because there's quite a lot of potential to have win-win scenarios with these fungi in agriculture. you could imagine, for example, a farmer's field where the crops are receiving more nutrients through this ancient symbiosis. And at the same time, more carbon is being put into farmer soils, leading to healthier soils overall.
And obviously, what you've been able to pull together in this global map is extraordinary. Has it also identified areas where you need to do more mapping?
My doctorate was on mycorrhizal fungi, but it was almost just on uncertainty. And the most important parts of these analyses to me are what I call maps of ignorance. So we make these maps where we know the least about these fungi, both spatially about their distributions. And these maps, which we include in our publications, are some of the most important because they're almost also like a treasure map. You know where on the earth you need to sample next. And that's what this is. This map is a living document. No map is complete. I always compare this to maps of California from the 1700s, where the Spanish thought California was an island, but then through continued exploration, you identify that it's not an island, right? This map is our first estimate of what the underground looks like, and it definitely needs to be updated using prioritization through these maps of ignorance.
Yeah, so clearly, you know, there's a moment to celebrate what you've achieved, but it also seems like it's the beginning of much larger and longer tasks. What do you see as the implications of these findings? And what is the most urgent need for your next work, Justin?
I see two major implications. The first is, I feel like studying mycorrhizal fungi now might feel what it was to study physics in the Age of Enlightenment. We are just developing tools from the fungal perspective and not looking from tools that were developed for plants or animals or for human questions. So the implications are, I think we're going to have much more explosion of ways to ask questions about this symbiosis. And more practically, this map is going to hopefully be put in the hands of policymakers. So soon, part of the team at the Society for Detection of Underground Networks, SPUN, is going to COP in Mongolia, where they're going to be presenting this work and seeing how are practitioners going to actually engage with this research. So moving this from just a pure academic journal into the world of action is something that I think is going to happen hopefully very soon, and I'm very excited about.
And obviously, the research has only been published quite recently, but do you have a sense that the way this data has been presented and the scale of it is actually starting to prompt those critical conversations, which it's really important to have?
It's early days, and I'm always so nervous because I care so much about protecting Earth soils that I'm extremely cautious, and so I don't dare to answer if it's happened. But what I can say is I'm on radio in Australia talking to them about this on a Sunday news show, and I've been fortunate to be able to do this on a variety of outlets in more than 20 countries now. And that's so special that soil life is getting this type of attention. I think at least what I can say is it's entering a bit of common knowledge for people that these fungal networks exist. And that's part of this work is also education. For example, protecting the Earth's oceans or closing the ozone gap first started with education of the general public. So this is a big part of this work.
It really is fascinating work, and it's been great speaking with you about it. Dr. Justin Stewart, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me.
And Justin is a research fellow at SPUN, the Society for the Protection of Underground Networks, and he's the lead author of the study in the journal Science, Global Density and Biomass of Arbuscular Mycorrhizal Fungal Networks. And you can see a visualization of this research, including an interactive mycorrhizal infrastructure map at the Society's website, which is www.spun.earth.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.